The classic PBS children's show, Sesame Street, featured a game called One of These Things is Not Like the Other. There was a little song that went with it. One of these things is not like the other. One of these things just doesn't belong. Can you tell which thing is not like the other before I finish my song? We would see four objects, maybe an apple, a pair of mittens, an ice cream cone, and a hamburger. And we have to figure out which one is not like the others. Today is Trinity Sunday, and it is the one that is not like the others. Holy days on the church calendar often mark events in the life of Christ or the church. Days like Easter and Christmas, All Saints' Day and Pentecost. Trinity Sunday does not commemorate an event. Instead, it invites us to an idea. It invites us to try to say something about who God is, one in three and three in one. It reminds us that God is impossible to explain or understand. Talking about God as Trinity is a way of affirming that God is completeness and that all existence proceeds from the fullness of God. In the 11th century, Pope Alexander II resisted the observance of Trinity Sunday. Maybe he knew the Sesame Street song because, in essence, he said, "One of these things is not like the other, and this thing doesn't belong." He said that the Trinity in its fullness is honored on every day of the church year, and that a particular observance could serve only to obscure this fact. He's right, of course, that we honor the fullness of God every day. Over the years, we have shied away from talking about God as Trinity because we simply don't know what to say. We can't understand this idea fully or explain it neatly. What we can do is live into it, rest in it, and find a richer, fuller journey of faith because of it. After all, the Trinity is not a problem to be solved, it is a mystery to be enjoyed. Our response to the Trinitarian mystery of God's being and working is wonder and worship. The psalmist and Isaiah know something about this. In Psalm 29, we read about the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord is powerful. It is full of majesty. God speaks and God acts. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars, shakes the wilderness, causes the oaks to whirl. The voice of the Lord is stunning in its power and its reach. We've experienced the limits of our own voices. When you're at the playground with the children and it's time to go home, so you call out the name of this child who you know can hear perfectly well. Johnny! Johnny, it's time to go! Johnny! The child doesn't blink, not even a flinch. This child is ignoring your voice with such ease, it's maddening. It would be impressive if it wasn't quite so frustrating. The voice of the Lord will not be ignored. We're reminded of the creation story in Genesis, where God speaks the world into existence. God says, "Let there be," and there is. When God speaks, God acts. The voice of the Lord is powerful. It is full of majesty, and it is a voice. God creates through that which is primarily a means of relationship. The voice of the Lord calls things into being, calls us into being, and into relationship. From the very beginning, the voice of the Lord is not just a creative force. It is an invitation to relationship. The voice of the Lord, at once familiar, relational, close, and beyond our understanding, completely other. Isaiah describes this otherness as holiness. In Isaiah's vision, he sees the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty. We imagine the scene of majesty and grandeur, the experience of being overwhelmed with awe and wonder. Heavenly creatures fly around and call out to each other over and over again, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy, holy." No other word is sufficient, and no single voice can sustain it. We sing together in this place, "Holy, holy, holy, merciful and mighty." Here again, we're reminded of the complexity of God's capacity. Might that speaks of power and authority, deserving of respect and awe. Mercy that opens itself up to us, that is demonstrated in self-giving love. Holy, holy, holy. God is holy, and God is wholly other. Trinity Sunday helps us remember that God is God and we are not. Thanks be. We may not be able to understand the Trinity. We do understand otherness. We notice it all the time. It often creates distance and division. When we see someone as other, we might talk of us and them. We might focus on all those things that make us different from each other and all the reasons those differences are what matter. Otherness can create distance and separation. If there's anything we've learned about recently, it's distance and separation. Early in the pandemic, Kyra Peralt of Montclair, New Jersey, was feeling isolated. As things shut down and her whole life became contained inside her home, she felt disconnected. Her family was there, but still she longed for a sense of connection with others. So she bought a black and white composition notebook, like the ones we might remember from elementary school. She began to use it as a diary, writing down her thoughts, hopes, dreams, and ideas. She decided to mail it to another woman, encouraging her to share her own stories. And it kept going from there. One woman would mail it to another, who would write and send it on to someone else. Kyra describes her idea was to invite people into an experience where they get to perform an act of kindness towards one another, where they're really pouring out their hopes, dreams, ideas during this period that the whole world is in right now. And then they're making sure that they're also protecting what's put in there from the women who wrote in it before it got to them. Shonda Lee of Atlanta, Georgia, described what it was like to get the diary in the mail. She said, "The first thing I did, I smelled it, because I have this thing about the scent of books, like that smell of the newspaper or the magazine or that old book that Grandpa left." She said, "That stuff really pulls memories out for me." And then instantly, the tears started to flow. She began to cry. And she said, "I immediately felt like I was connected to the people who I, of course, never met, but whose stories were already in the book." Now the Traveling Diary Tour has more than 700 members worldwide in places like London, Australia, Portugal, and Hong Kong. The pandemic that created distance and separation from others ended up providing an opportunity for incredible connection for these women. The holiness, the otherness of God could create distance and separation. We could step back and say with Isaiah, "Woe is me," as we recognize who God is and who we are. We could focus only on how our sin separates us and how we fall short of who God made us to be. We could think that God wouldn't want much to do with us. We could do that, and we'd be wrong. Just as God called out to Isaiah, issuing an invitation, God calls to us. God's holiness, God's otherness, calls us in, creating not distance, but closeness, connection, relationship. Indeed, God's holiness is closer than we might realize. We experience holy moments every day. Working in the garden, tending the soil, a beautiful sunrise on your morning walk, the waves lapping against the sand of the beach. Holy, holy, holy. The laughs and screams and nonstop motion of young children, putting Band-Aids on skinned knees, the stillness and quiet after putting those children to bed. Holy, holy, holy. Conversations with good friends, hugging grandchildren, the gifts of cards or calls or cookies. Holy, holy, holy. Caring for a loved one who is sick, being together in final days, listening, holding a hand, sharing tears. Holy, holy, holy. Perhaps these holy moments are glimpses of God, reminders that God is merciful and mighty, perfect in power and in love. This holy mystery, this holy idea that we cannot understand, points us to a love that is beyond all understanding. Trinity Sunday reminds us of the otherness of God. This otherness calls us to one anotherness. It all comes back to relationship. The voice of the Lord, it is relational. It calls to us, invites us to be part of God's life. God's holiness draws us in, creates closeness. This is what we're getting at when we talk about the Trinity. God in three persons, blessed Trinity. We want to say something about who God is. Maybe the Trinity reveals more about what God is committed to. God is relational. Professor Caroline Lewis says, it's at the core of who God is, and it's at the core of what God does, what God needs the church to be. God is fundamentally about relationship, and the church is too. The church is not a building, but a way of being in the world. We already knew this in our minds. In the last year, we've seen it with our eyes, felt it in our hearts, and clung to it with our souls. The church as a picture of God's commitment to relationship. In the Trinity, we see unity in diversity. There's no competing, no hierarchy, no exclusion. Brian McLaren talks about the healing teaching of the Trinity. Are we ready to live into the mystery, the idea that Trinity Sunday calls us to consider? Because if God is not violent, static, dualistic, hierarchical, or exclusive, neither should we be. The Trinity is a glimpse of what can be if relationship is at the heart of who and what the church strives to be. God's voice, God's holy otherness, calls us to holy one anotherness. The Trinity shows us perfect relationship, giving and receiving care and love from another, not taking advantage or looking for leverage. We are welcomed into relationship with God and called to relationship with each other. It is hard work. It is holy work. Holy, holy, holy. Amen.